Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Allows you to do it. So it's a lot of personnel, your philosophy, how you teach things. Because if you don't, and you just kind of one size fits all, or if that's a nightmare, and they know it, you spend too much time trying to ID who's who, well, it's going to change on you. You may change on you in the second half. And that's where they get the advantage. So best answer I can give you.
A lot there. Number one, it's interesting. You think about the timing of it. So Flores is here in 2022. He becomes the Vikings coordinator the following season. That's Arthur Smith's last year in Atlanta. So Arthur Smith knows he's on somewhat of a hot seat, 7-9 seasons. He tries to bring in Brian Flores to rescue a defense that can't put any pressure on the quarterback. They were the worst in the league. He said they were birds of a feather. Flores picked Minnesota over Atlanta. Atlanta, obviously, because Kevin O'Connell, right? I mean, he trusted Kevin O'Connell and probably thought, if I go to Atlanta, I could be one and done with Arthur Smith. It makes you think, Chris, hearing that, you know, that's Arthur Smith's vision for a defense, and he takes a job here, and they don't play defense that way. You know, they go out in Minnesota with Flores, and he makes it sound like they target smart players mm-hmm. who you can change your defensive play calls and schemes week to week.
You can be a chameleon, basically. Like, that defense is a chameleon or an amoeba. It's constantly shifting. I think didn't we say this already once this week that it's not just his acumen, it's that he has players who can do the stuff pre-snap.
Whereas with Mike, we hear about, well, these guys need to get used to playing together. We're in week four.
And, like, well, the thing about Mike's defense that has always bugged me when he gives these excuses is one injury, it seems like. You know what I mean? Unless it's maybe to a defensive lineman. One injury in the back seven or the back eight.
Yeah, we didn't expect it to lose to Sean Elliott, so now we can't talk to each other back there anymore. We're totally screwed.
You guys would not believe how much that shortens our playbook up. Really? Like, what are we doing here, man?
Donnie, give me next here Arthur Smith on not enough big plays. Okay, the Steelers' offense is middle of the pack, maybe a little bit worse than that. We've seen very few explosive run plays. Let's hear Arthur Smith on what's going on with why this offense does not have big downfield plays.
Well, we have. Again, it goes back to more possessions. I mean, you look at it on the surface, you know, stat sheet, talk about the context. Correct. Well, I mean, we won the game on a deep ball. It's just the field ran out. If we had been 40 yards back, that could have been a 70, you know, whatever, 60-yard touchdown. So it's not but a lack of trying. I mean, we opened the season going deep, and fortunately we got sacked. So, again, That has something to do with it. You know, it's not just calls, and you look at it, and it's not just being a victim and blaming, oh, we got sacked or whatever. You're looking at it, all right. When you're setting things up and you're looking at matchups, I mean, the rhythm of the game. So it's not like it's been quick game, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. They still have to defend that stuff, and you got to hit more of them. But when you don't put them on film, which we have, so there's a lot of that. You know, we got to do continue to work, do a better job. Make sure we're better in just the basic fundamentals, whether that's blocking, you know, taking advantage of some of the man and how we release. All that stuff goes into it. But there's not a lack of vertical speed. And so if you want to say the biggest thing is, well, do a better job of it, that's fair. But it's not for lack of intent.
That's putting it right on the offensive line there, Chris.
I was just going to say, I that was the exact takeaway I had was the subtext of that, if you were going to translate it, was I want to go deep. I want to be aggressive. My line hasn't been good enough for me to do the things I want to do.
We tried it right off the bat against the Jets and got sacked.
I mean, he's right about that.
Yep.
I do think that a back shoulder throw to Calvin Austin probably wouldn't have gone for a 70-yard touchdown, but neither here nor there. But it just sounds like It sounds like he's kind of putting his hands up and saying, whoa, 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 don't put this on me. Me and Rodgers and these receivers, we want to get down the field. We want to be aggressive. Look at those five dudes.
Yeah, we've got the speed and the personnel to do it.
Talk to Pat Meyer if you want to know why this offense isn't doing certain things.
All right, I mean, this is another good question. I forget who asked it because 90% of the Steelers media is in Dublin right now, but somebody said, what happened to this offense built around tight ends that we were sold on? Freiermuth, Smith, Shaq Washington, Connor Hayward, jack of all trades. This being a matchup nightmare for defenses, why haven't we seen it? What did Arthur Smith say about that?
In terms of what? You talking about just the number of catches?
Yeah, catches, yards.
Yeah, again, it goes back to everything. I mean, we've won two games. Done a good job scoring the red zone. That needs to continue. We need more possessions. That'll naturally work itself out. So that's, you know, just you look at numbers. Again, you can manipulate stats however you want. And there's some that are, you know, that are pretty meaningful. And usually you're going to win games if you don't turn the ball over. You win possession downs, score in the red zone, and talk about situational football. So that those are the most important ones. I mean, you know, you get into total yards, you look at the totality of the season. Now, something that's never made sense to me, especially on defense, is why is the total yards number one defense? If you're really good, you're going to give up yards because you got a lead and people are playing soft, dink and dunk, two-minute offense, which can pad stats. Like, it's not impressive to me if a team's 4-12 and a guy throws for 4,000 yards. I mean, credit to him, but I'm just saying, if you really look at it in that space, and the same thing like total yards, I mean, look around the league. I mean, there's been teams that got total yards and not scoring very much. And so it's everything you got to work on. You obviously want to be the best at everything, but that's part of this journey. And you look at the totality of it, and so we need to continue the things that are going well, and there's a lot of things we got to improve on, and that's our charge. And that's what excites me about the group we have. You got the right guys. You get in those tough moments. You stall out. You know, we didn't have the ball for a while, and, you know, but at the end of the day, when we started hot, obviously we were cold, and they, you know, bowed up, and we were at our best when we needed to be, and it was the same thing in New York. So that's encouraging. And then when you come in here on, you know, Mondays, and then you go back to work on Wednesdays, those guys are, you're looking at the progress, and you want to call it the process, and not so much comparative results. You get it down that thing, and you're going to get a bunch of selfish guys, you're going to get selfish coaches, and they can call the game just to pad your stats. But that's not going to help us win a championship, and then what is our charge?
Man, he went...
Oh, my God, that was...
He went way off once, way far away from the question, which was tight ends, and he got defensive there. Now, I get this point, like, you want to... It's about scoring points, and they've had success in the red zone, and part of it is tight ends, Jonnu Smith, the pop pass, two-point conversion, Darnell Washington helps a touchdown by drawing a pass interference penalty. So... down there in important plays, tight end has been a big factor, but that was not Joe Rutter clarified it. Why aren't these guys catching more balls? Why aren't they putting up more yards? And to me, it goes even beyond that. Why does it feel like the tight ends are not being showcased and used in a way where it keeps defenses on their heels?
Is it because what we said yesterday, though, that they have to feel like they keep multiple guys in to help block? Like, they've got to use these guys more as...
He didn't say that, but that would have been... I mean, if that had been his... If he used that as his defense mechanism, I need an extra blocker. I get that. His comeback initially was, we've won two games.
Not a good comeback.
No, that's not. That's actually the antithesis of what Aaron Rodgers has said, where he's like, actually, we are beholden to a binary system, but I like to go deeper than just, did we win the game or lose the game? And his offensive coordinator is saying, we won two games, back off about my tight ends.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just amazed that maybe you got the real frustration there on his part. When he
frisky Arthur Smith.
He turned into like a frisky, but also he was doing the Allman Brothers, man. Lord, I was born a rambling man. That answer just went on for an eternity.
Well, coming up next, we've got Pomp. What do you think he's going to be like at 8 o'clock Dublin time at the Steelers media dinner?
You wouldn't believe this creme brulee. It's incredible. Have a nice glass of port, a dessert wine.
They got this thing here. It's called corned beef.
I never thought I'd eat cabbage. Yeah,
potato. Outstanding.
Humble potato.
When you're in Ireland, you got to get a big potato.
Potato. Inextricably linked to Irish history. They do them right here.
Well, that is a Are the potatoes better there? Are they?
Well, no, they're known for
potatoes?
Like it's known for
they had a potato famine. Yes,
yeah. I mean, I don't think they're known for being better. I don't. Is the potato something? Here's a question. I think the climate there, most people know it usually doesn't get as hot there as it ever does even here.
Yeah.
Right? The climate there I will broadly describe as a little more cool and a little more damp.
Mm-hmm.
Is that conducive to better potato?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Growth
kind of dumb, but I feel like technology has advanced enough where the last time the Steelers were in England to play the Vikings for an international game, it was such a pain in the ass to try to get people to come on from over there.
So I think have you ever done like a true international call? Like I remember trying to do international calls once in like circa 2010 or even 2009.
Yeah.
You would get that. You wouldn't get a brrr. You'd get like a boo, like this weird dial tone.
Uh-huh.
Donnie, when you dialed out to put Pomp on the line, did you get a weird dial tone or was it like calling him like he was right down the street?
Well, so he always calls us because his number so apparently blocks the hotline. But Jason, it didn't do that.
Yeah, I think Pony's right as much as this sounds ridiculous. I think in the year 2025... Unless you're in like a very far flung country that's outside of Europe, I think you're kind of it's kind of easy to make these calls now.
And so Pomp called us. Does that mean that on his cell phone bill he's going to get charged an arm and a leg for this?
See, I think that's why they have these international plans now. Do you remember in the days Donnie might not even know this? Long distance calling, like 10-10-3-2-1 and all that crap, 10-10-2-20, and then the initial cell phone plans, you'd have like, oh yeah, you have 60 minutes of prime talking time.
Yeah, like call after 7 o'clock or whatever.
Oh, my God. I had to call my high school girlfriend after 9 p.m.
Hear that, Donnie? The summer of Malzi continues. He had a high school girlfriend.
I don't know. I think he's avoiding saying some sort of lie. There's multiple jokes that could be made.
Fan Hotline's presented by Sullivan Super Service. Let's get to Pomp. Pomp is at the Steelers media dinner in Dublin. What do you have in, Bob?
French martinis.
I knew it. I called it. Jason Madden said he's having a cocktail. I said, got to be a French martini.
I think you asked him more like, what food are you eating? When he answers French martini, it tells you how the night's going.
He's drinking dinner, I mean.
Why is it that I got texts from all these people all of a sudden saying, uh-oh, 93.7 The Fan, Boney and Mueller are busting your balls? I said, I don't know why. I haven't heard them.
It's PMT. So why is that, gentlemen? We said for the media dinner, we talked to Mackie about how the Guinness tastes so much better over there. And I asked innocently, is Pomp drinking a Guinness? And Pony, before even Jason could answer, goes, oh, come on. He's drinking red wine.
Yeah, I had you pegged for wine,
and then
Bob.
Jason said, no, he's not drinking wine. It's some sort of a mixed drink. And Pony, again, like the Kool-Aid man, goes, it's a French martini.
And I also said that you'd be walking around the streets of Dublin, people would recognize you, and you would come up with Irish sayings like top of the morning to you and whatnot.
You sucking diesel?
Yeah. So.
Yes, that's all happening.
But how what are you boys? Eating? We're good. What are you having for dinner then? Steak?
Steak, yeah. Yeah. That's always a go-to.
How is it over there?
Is it your first or second time beautiful. Over there?
First time here. But I'm telling you, this where the Steelers are staying is just a tremendous place. It's isolated. It's so far away. But it's if you want to think what Ireland is, this is what Ireland is. It's all alone. It's lush. It's This place has a couple of golf courses on it here, Chris. Now that you are now the low net winner of the Western Pennsylvania Golf Association stable board system with a plus 38 score and 78. Palmer, so you would like it here.
Palmer, Mediate, Shipley, Mulsey. That's the Mount Rushmore of golf in Pittsburgh.
There you go. That's a Chartreuse is no slouch. That's a par 70. You better do some scoring there. So you did.
Paul Alexander, great golf courses here. Paul Alexander, who is quite the golfer himself, he claims, he's like, Mulsey, you won a major now. And I don't think he was kidding. He said you won a Western Pennsylvania major right there.
And for those of us who play in this level that we play, yes, you did. So what congratulations on all your success.
Thank you.
Well done. What is your number one accomplishment in golf, Bob?
This is always going to be number one for me. My father and son won a father-son. My dad and I won a father-son championship at Beaver Lakes Country Club. So it was a 36-hole event, and we were up against 15 other fathers and sons, and we won. And I still have the trophy, and it used to be his. And since he passed away, I've taken it, and it's a very proud moment for me.
Bob, I think one of my favorite golf stories for you is you and Richie did something for KDTV where you played a road game against him at Edgewood when he was still a member there.
Don't remind me. I lost money on
before
this.
Before he jumped over to Longview. Yeah.
And I was insulted heavily by your partner there.
You were getting strokes, and Pony was saying he was going to make a side bet saying he'd give you 10 or whatever.
I did say that.
And you beat Richie straight up, and I think that's one of the great performances in golf history. You went into a hostile environment and just took the fight right to him.
Right, in a hostile crowd. Andrew Filippone comes up with that spot on my eye. I can't be. Now, all of a sudden, I'm taking it from all angles here. So I said, I just played my game. And every now and then, you know how this works, Chris. It's there. Every now and then, it isn't either. On that day, it was. And I beat him by one shot, so I was very proud of that. Rich is a good golfer.
Richie was like Greg Norman at the 96 Masters that day.
Well, really, Greg Norman at almost any major, right? Yeah, if Pomp had chipped in like Larry Mize in 88, I wouldn't have been surprised.
Bob, are you such a freak that you're keeping up on the Pirates game there right now? Like, is your phone app open? Ooh. Are you still following things?
No, I'm not doing that. But on the way here last night when Skeens was pitching, I was very much involved with that, yes.
Okay.
I love, by the way, Bob, that they actually, and I bet you Skeens was not going to have any of it, where they, this rumor that they were going to yank him after four scoreless if he got there to get 199. I love that he pitched two more innings and just shoved. And then I felt like, since I know we're going to talk Steelers, but I felt like you could not have had a more fitting end to his season than he goes six dominant shutout innings, strikes out
and
seven,
they don't give him a win,
and gets a no decision to finish 10-10. It is the ending to his season that they, as a franchise, I felt like deserved for the way that they haven't surrounded him with what he needs.
Total microcosm of the entire year, and that's what we saw with him. He was good enough to do it, and he should be a unanimous Cy Young winner. I'm sorry. If there's
anyone
else,
one of those baseball writers of America guys are going to not vote for him just so he's not unanimous? You think there are going to be some shenanigans there?
What would be the logic? What would be the logic?
That's the problem.
He didn't pitch in any big games or some stupid take
like that.
Or
just to say, like, somebody won't even give logic. They'll just say, I didn't vote for him because I didn't vote for him. Who would it be? Freddie Peralta would probably be their vote since Wheeler got hurt.
Christopher Sanchez.
He's had a good year, but nothing like Skeens. And the fact that he's done it on this team, knowing what he has to deal with in terms of lack of offense, is spectacular. And I think the numbers bear that out. If you give him three runs a game, what that number is. And he averages not that much when he gets out there. So that's a tremendous season, man. To see that 1.97 ERA after 87 innings or so, that's pretty special.
Bob, true or false, now that you're over there, if the Steelers win on Sunday, this will go down as one of their most meaningful wins in playoff history, especially for the Rooney family.
In playoff history, you said?
No, including playoff history, I mean. Like, I feel like this might even outrank some playoff wins for them.
I mean, it'll be special, but I think, it's one win out of the course of an entire season, and I think in the end, that's what you look at it as. It's for them, it's big, and this whole week should be, and this week should be celebrated for them, and the people come over here are certainly doing their share of celebration, I see. And that's fun. I mean, you get to do that. You get to go to all these great places. The pubs are fantastic. You guys have got to get here one day. You walk down some of these streets, and everyone's just friendly as can be, open arms, come in, sit down, have a pint, whatever you want. And they got Ryder Cups from 2023 playing today in the bar, and they were cheering as if it happened right now. I mean, it's just it's a good sports place to be. And so, yeah, for them, I think it's going to be very special. And,
man,
you know,
Bob,
back in 1997.
Go ahead, Bob. Finish that 97 story.
It's a story I always tell about Cowher, when he talks about when they were here for that preseason game against the Bears and what they call the American Bowl. And I remember there was a dinner the night before where Pat Rooney, Dan's wife, had marveled at the crystal trophy that went to the winner of that preseason game. And upon hearing this, Bill Cowher had a reverse thought about how he should play that game, because Pat really wanted that crystal trophy. So he played more starters longer and tried to win, and they did.
Bob, I think to that point, it's interesting you brought that up. Andrew and I were talking about how they might approach this game, knowing like how Mike might approach it, because I would imagine he doesn't look at the late Dan Rooney as necessarily his former boss, but as almost a family type of figure, an older family member, with the way that the Rooneys venerate coaches here. I think you might get a more aggressive Mike Tomlin who coaches it like it's a, hey, last game of the year, let's not leave anything out there, or, you know, in the playbook, so to speak. I think he might come out guns a-blazing here to try to win this thing.
Yeah, I think you're onto something there. I can sense that when we did a show with him this week. I think he's just, you know, moved by that. He knows what that all means to them, and specifically to Dan when he was the ambassador. He's very well schooled on the history and what it means. So, yeah, I could see that happening. I think they desperately want to win this game as best they can, not just to get to 3-1, but to, you know, to complete what is a good week for the Rooney family and their history here.
Bob, what is your game prediction? Minnesota crushed Cincinnati. Minnesota has Brian Flores, if you haven't heard that by now. And they're getting former Pitt Biletnikoff winner Jordan Addison back for this game on Sunday. And also, Jason Mackey told us he was shocked by the number of Vikings fans he's seen in Dublin. He thinks the Steelers will have a crowd advantage, but not a huge one on Sunday. So who are you picking in this one?
Well, first of all, he's accurate with that. I've seen a lot of purple and gold next to the Steelers color. So, but that, I don't think that's going to play a factor in that at all. I think Carson Wentz is to me the X factor here, one way or the other. He can be the guy who comes in and does things that J.J. McCarthy could not do in game 3 or 4 of his career if he were still playing. And if he does those things, and he has Addison, as you said, he's got Hawkinson, he's got a lot of skilled players there, all of a sudden that could be a bad recipe for the Steelers. But if the Steelers get to him and he gets frazzled and he's had a history of throwing interceptions, big numbers, I think it'd go the other way. So I'm thinking that may be the way it goes. So I'm going to say the Steelers win this one 19-17.
I see Richie Walsh 49 seconds ago. Look what I found at one of the tasting bars at Jameson Distillery, and it just says Walsh engraved into the wood of the bar. And there have to be about 20 glasses of whiskey right there in the foreground. Oh.
But he doesn't like whiskey, so he wasn't drinking them.
Bob,
no, he doesn't like whiskey.
He doesn't.
You had a great line. You had a great line on the Extra Point show on Sunday. I think the person Richie was interviewing kept saying dog back to him, and you said Richie should have used dude back to him.
All right, dude, dog, dude.
Dude, dog.
It's priceless. All right, Bob, enjoy Ireland. We'll see you.
Thank you, guys. Have a good night. I'm going to go back to my French martini entree and appetizer and dessert. They're all the same.
Mm. Wait, does that mean he's doing a French martini for each one? Fayette County Jesus on the YouTube comments. Pomp is such an unbelievable pro. He is literally sobering up during the call.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The fan loves football, and the fan loves going to the grassroots. watching the young up-and-comers. And that's part of our youth football showcase we're doing. If you want us to come to your game, go to youthsports@937thefan.com. Tell us your group name, your group's main contact info. Give us some dates, and we could be there. 937thefan.com brought to you by Steel City Shredding, Saloni's Italian Bread Company, Palman Electric, and Keystone Custom Apparel. It is time for PM Team Power Rankings. Today we are ranking a robust weekend of sports, of football, of other things, the top five sporting events for each of us. My number five, this is going to shock Mulsey. The Ryder Cup made my list. I always...
Why would that shock me, though? Because I know you like sports other than the Big Four. You love tennis. Why would I be stunned? And you love any big golf event. You get very gassed up for the majors.
The issue is the timing of it. Terrible job by the Ryder Cup. The Ryder Cup should have started yesterday.
There's a lot of people that think they should do it in August every year.
There you go. Even better. And if you're not going to do it in August and you're going to do it in September, don't F with football. The fact that they're not having guys tee off Sunday until noon right into the teeth of NFL games is idiotic and dumb. And I know half of the viewers come from Europe, but then again, for them, it's at night. Are they staying up to watch the end of it? Maybe. Probably in those pubs in Dublin Bob was referring to. But I like this. I think it would be better if it was just the United States versus England. I don't know why they get the whole continent. But okay, we'll give them.
I think it's a talent thing. You take.
Well,
John
then even if we lose, we can say, well, of course, you guys had like 19 countries and we only had one.
What? But talk about population that you're selecting from here. If it's United States versus UK, you've got like a 5-1, 6-1 population advantage.
But technically, if they wanted
more
to
than that.
But technically, if they wanted to get a golfer from Russia, they could. There just aren't any good ones.
I've looked on Google Maps to even see if there are golf courses in Russia. I can never find one.
So I'll watch. Anyway. I'll watch a lot of this on Friday. I'll watch less of it on Saturday and Sunday. But I do like the competitiveness and the nastiness that exists in the Ryder Cup. And I don't know why Oakmont can't get a Ryder Cup.
Well, hold on.
Beth Page Black can, so can Oakmont. So
time out. Really quickly here. I don't want to bog this down too much because we've got a lot of power.
It's nonsense.
To get to. You put that out there yesterday, and I just didn't respond to it. Paul Alexander and others pointed out that Laurel Valley held one. Here is why.
In like the 1940s.
70s, I think.
Whatever.
Yeah, same thing. Just like Ted Williams yesterday. Yeah, some old fart. Who cares? Anyway, I would tell you this. Bethpage Black is known for being very difficult. They have that whole sign. It's for an extremely difficult course for extremely skilled golfers.
The ultimate test in golf.
I know, but here's the point. The team that's the home team at the Ryder Cup gets to set up the course, like the rough length and everything else. And
yep.
Keegan Bradley set up the course where it's much shorter rough. Like if you went to play Bethpage Black 3 months ago and camped out and waited, you would probably be playing a harder setup than they have it for this because they want birdies to be made. The whole point of Oakmont is it's incredibly difficult. Like I guarantee you there are Oakmont members who, while they might have loved J.J. Spahn's thrilling finish to the Open, wanted him to two-putt there so that he wouldn't shoot one under par.
Yep.
Oakmont's membership, and I get this because this is their thing, I don't think they'd want to have a Ryder Cup where the U.S. could say, we want the rough at 1.5 inches. We want this like slowed down so that the greens aren't as hard to keep and hard to putt.
Yep.
The whole point is that is a course that might as well have been purpose-built to host U.S. Opens.
Well, keep it
so
hard.
So this is a different format.
Keep it hard. Shane Lowry, he would be on a Ryder Cup team if he was good enough for them. He was so hacked off that his ball was still moving and he picked it up over there. He was so in his head. Rory McIlroy basically wanted to break a club on every hole. So that would be a great psychological maneuver.
The one thing I would like
to keep it hard.
The one reason I would kill to see it at Oakmont is I have heard from many people, I've never experienced this. I don't know if Pomp has. I have heard that Oakmont in the fall, when the course firms up because the weather starts to turn a little cooler and just the ground firms up without them having to do really anything special to it, is like the true ultimate Oakmont test if you play it in like early or mid-October.
Number four on the list of biggest sporting events in this unbelievable sports weekend, Malzi.
This is going to shock and annoy maybe both of you. I'm actually going to tell you that my number four is Georgia-Alabama.
What?
Because I cannot in good conscience like laugh and say something to the effect of, oh, Pitt-Louisville. I can't. Eli Holstein looks terrible. Pitt looks terrible. I'm not going to...
Alabama got blown out by Florida State.
I know, but then they started to look like Alabama again.
Against Wisconsin.
And Gunnar Stockton, the kid from Georgia, they basically do the Mike Tomlin quarterback plan with him. He either throws short balls or he throws sideline balls.
Yeah.
And he threw a great one to win the Tennessee game, essentially, or to put it into overtime. That's a powerhouse matchup between two teams who could easily be in the playoff. One of them at least probably will be, maybe both, depending on how this one goes. I am putting that at number four because it is the second biggest college football game of the weekend.
Donnie, number three.
Oregon and Penn State is number three for me. I think it is the biggest college football game of the weekend. It seems like College Game Day has agreed. And also, Fox hasn't ruined it by playing it at noon. This game gets to be played when it should, under the lights, at night, 7:30, and I can actually watch it, which is a little feather in the cap.
Penn State has lost 14 in a row going back to 2016 against top 10 teams. Pat Narduzzi has defeated a top 10 team more recently than James Franklin.
I think so.
It's a whiteout, and Oregon's got a new quarterback. They got to find a way to win that game with a bye week, too, that Oregon didn't have.
Are you aware that Penn State is not allowed to wear white for this because it requires the approval of their opponent, and they don't think any opponent would ever go for it? Like, somebody brought up, why do you have this whiteout, which is this legendary thing in college football because of the visual it creates?
Why wouldn't the opponents want it? Why do they care?
Because the opponent would be then, like, feeding into it even more. Like, I would imagine fans, if they knew Penn State was getting to wear all white, would come out even more.
I'd say bring it on. If I'm Dan Lanning at Oregon, like, whatever, wear whatever the hell you guys want.
Oregon is wearing all white, apparently. Like, they're wearing their version. You know how they have 82 different uniforms there?
Yeah.
It's something called, like, ghost white, which I'm going to imagine is, like, a cream or a matte white color. But they're wearing all white. I would say this. We all know Franklin's abysmal record in these spots and how bad he is. I think if they lose this game, as much as the pressure should and will be on him, the Drew Aller is a fraud movement picks up massive steam if he doesn't have a great game and they lose. Like, even if they win, like, 13 to whatever, like, some insane defensive struggle, which I doubt they would, if Drew Aller has a bad game here, can we finally put him, can we just say he's a rich man's Christian Hackenberg?
I've been saying that for a while, so it would just be confirmation bias for me.
Yeah, so have I, but I'm kind of sick of hearing, like, he's going to break out, it's going to happen. I don't even know if most Penn State fans believe that at this point. They got him three new receivers, all of whom I think are independently good, and he just hasn't been good enough to get them the ball a lot.
It's September 25th, and the Penn State season hasn't even started because of the joke of a non-conference they've played.
Hey,
we have no idea who they are or what they are because they played Nevada, FIU, and Villanova.
If you put the best 90-man roster together of those three teams, you might have a team that could stay within two touchdowns of Oregon.
Number two for me, top five sporting events this weekend, the Florida game. He's back. It's his final foray. It's his swan song. Yes, it's an exhibition game. Yes, it doesn't count, but it's in Pittsburgh. And the other thing that is tremendous about it, 7 o'clock. So Penn State doesn't start till 7:30. He's only going to play the first period. You can go seamlessly from watching Fleury's one period right into watching the big college football
unless
game.
Tyler Kennedy's right and he just balls out in the first period and goes the distance, and then it turns into a shutout and they're going hard to get a shutout for the guy in a preseason game.
Number one, Mulsey?
Steelers Vikings.
Yeah.
It's a game that's been decades maybe in the making, going back to that America Bowl in 1997 or whatever, that we just heard Bob Pompey
do they
talk
still
about.
Give out that glass cup here for this game? Or whatever.
I think that would be a little like touch of European soccer to have an NFL game like this where they.
Well, how
give
about college
away
football? There should be trophies in the
did
NFL.
Did you know
Steelers Browns should have a trophy? Steelers Bengals, Steelers Ravens.
I agree with that. Did you know that Virginia and Florida State have a rivalry trophy? It's called the Jefferson Epps Trophy.
For Omar Epps?
I guess it's Thomas Jefferson and one of his sons. It's very weird.
Was it a legit son or was it one of the...
I think it... I don't know. The guy Epps became... The guy's name is Thomas Jefferson Epps, and I guess he became the mayor of Tallahassee, and that's why it exists. Anyway, I'm all for a trophy for this game if they were to give it out. I will say this. My actual list here, Pony.
Yeah.
Honorable mention is the Yinzer Classic, which is like the Pittsburgh Golf Influencer Ryder Cup I will be playing in on Sunday afternoon.
Okay.
I am in like the last group of the day.
So you'll likely win
pressure.
Because you're on a heater right now.
I'm on a heater, but it'll be very interesting to see how it goes. I'm excited for that. Flurry game was number five for me, man. I can't put an exhibition game any higher than five, though. I can't do it.
Damn, where was it for you, Don?
I had Flurry at number five.
I can't, dude.
Jeez.
It's a preseason. It's a feel-good, possibly 20-minute nostalgia fest. I understand
yes.
it.
We love nostalgia.
I get it.
We're a nostalgia town.
Pittsburgh's a nostalgia town. Bama, Georgia 4, Ryder Cup 3. Maybe a surprise that I have the actual Ryder Cup as low as I do. Penn State, Oregon, I do have number 2, and then the Steelers game. By the way, Donnie, is Penn State, Oregon kind of on this list? Because I think it is for me and Pony, for you, because there is the James Franklin fraud watch. Like, I do watch every Penn State game, not just because, yeah, I'm rooting for the other team, but whenever he loses because of how he acts when
he
wins,
and
he's such a front runner, if Oregon goes in there, and I kind of like Dan Lanning, Pony, I don't know, do you? Like, personality-wise, I kind of vibe with Lanning. He seems like a guy it's easy to
root for. I'm ambivalent right now.
If he goes in there and Oregon with a new quarterback puts a hurting on them in a whiteout game, and then Franklin's got to sit there with that hangdog look and answer questions, there's hardly anything in the world better for me than that.
Donnie, what was your five?
Uh-oh.
I had Flurry at five. I actually had the final weekend of the MLB regular season at number 4.
Mm.
Oregon, Penn State at 3. I had Ravens and Chiefs at 2, and I had Steelers and Vikings at 1.
I thought about Ravens, Chiefs.
I had Chiefs, Ravens 4.
I had Chiefs, Ravens. I thought about that.
No Micah Parsons Bowl for any of us.
Penn State fan Donnie's landlord says if Drew Aller played at Wyoming, he'd be Josh Allen. So I guess it's Andy Kotelnicki's fault that he sucks and James Franklin's fault.
Oh, I was told
sucks.
He was like the most creative offensive mind of all time. Interesting.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.